Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Wednesday, June the 28th. In case you're wondering what year it is, it's 2023. Good morning, Ed Battagliano.
Good morning, Tim Wildman.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Just kind of battening down the hatches for the heat wave that's coming our way. Well, the people in Texas are probably thinking we're weenies for complaining because it's been super hot.
Yeah. Are you batting down hatches for heat waves, though?
That's what I'm going to do.
I thought that was for like big winter storms or something like that.
It was, Tim. You don't kind of get what I was going for there.
But that's okay.
I'm preparing for the heat.
It was a metaphor.
Yep.
Batten down the hatches.
I got the little kiddie pool is out. Water.
You know people can film you from a great distance, right? You put it on YouTube and your life's over. You know that, right, Ed?
Yeah, that's right.
Here's Ed Battagliano in a kiddie pool in his backyard. And he works for American Family.
Yeah, that's maybe I should rethink that.
All right, Christopher Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. I am one of these six people on Earth that welcomes this hot weather.
As hot as it's going to be, you're welcome.
Proud of it.
All right, seriously, it is going to be extremely hot throughout. Is this the southeast,
yes.
Chris, the whole southeast? Is the heat wave going to even go up into the Midwest? Is it already there?
I'll get back to you on that. But I know it's going to be hot, hot, hot. And I will say for people that are
over 100.
People that are planning to visit Mississippi or the southeast in the next few days or weeks, this is not even when it's hot yet. As I've told other people before, come back and see us when we start high school football in August. And that's when you lose weight just sitting for 5 minutes outside.
All right, I'm looking tomorrow, and again, this is over the southeast, these kinds of temperatures. Tomorrow, 101 here in Tupelo, 104 Friday, and 101 on Saturday. Now, that's unusual for this time. Usually it's in the low 90s, right?
Yeah.
So. Anyway, let me just check Atlanta real quick. Y'all go ahead and talk amongst yourselves, and let me check Atlanta. I want to make sure, see how far this goes over. Hotlanta, right?
Hotlanta.
Okay. So Atlanta's not going to be quite as hot, like 94 tomorrow, 97. That's a cool wave. 98 on Saturday. Anyway, hey, I'm not complaining. As everybody knows, I formed a hate group for winter. And I'm taking anybody want to join me on that.
In fact, you applied to the Southern Poverty Law Center to get your group
started
on their list.
Yes, for hate group for winter. Anyway, we stay cool out there wherever you may be. And guess what? Where they do stay cool in the winter is Montana.
That's right.
And we have a couple of guests who are listeners traveling down here.
Yeah, Ted and Lana from Great Falls, Montana. Now, J.J. Jasper is the one taking them around because he met them, I think, earlier in the spring when he was up in Great Falls for a pro-life pregnancy clinic event. And he met them, and they were coming through and wanted to stop by. So welcome to Ted and Lana.
Thank you guys for being with us. Thank you. We are thrilled to be here.
Lonnie, y'all do have a last name, right?
We do.
What would that be?
Ballot.
Ballot?
Ballot box?
Like Fallot, as in Frank.
Oh, Fallot. Oh. I had a little Mississippi, Montana misinterpretation. Fallot.
Okay. Now, you're both coming back from Atlanta because of what?
Well, our oldest son had a carpentry competition there, so that's what brought us in our southern tour.
Yeah, he won the state competition in Montana.
He did.
Went to nationals in Atlanta.
Yes.
What's a carpentry? What do they do there?
They basically gets a set of plans handed to him, and there's some material staged, and you have to build
He doesn't know what's going to be handed to him?
No.
Kind of like one of those cooking shows when they throw you a bunch of ingredients and say, make something of it?
Yep. Yes. Exactly. But you do have to follow the plans and build it.
I would be so good at that. Anybody who knows me.
Lana's just laughing out loud. Yes. I think she's listening.
She's already said that I have a good face for radio.
Right. So
the insults just keep coming.
She did say also.
Yes, she did.
So, Lana, y'all listen in Great Falls. How long have you been listening to AFR there?
Years.
Yeah, because we've been on the air, 20 years or more?
Yeah, years. Yeah. Years. Used to listen all the time, working now, so I get to hear in the morning and on my way home, and then it was super exciting. We were on our way here. I took a picture of the radio station. I'm like, we are listening to AFR, and we are on our way to AFR.
Well, we welcome anybody who listens to come by and see us when you're traveling. If you're traveling our way, we'd love to have you come by our studios and see us. Just need to let us know in advance. Mm-hmm. We don't really like surprises.
Right. Because we actually will do background checks. Now, I will say about Ted and Lana, we have not done the background check yet. That has led to some problems when they get off the air.
Are two officers out there in the hallway?
There will be a couple of FBI agents waiting. No.
Right.
No. We do check just to make sure you're not running from the law when you come by here.
But, not that we know of.
Yes.
So, Ted, what do you do there in Great Falls?
I work for the city of Great Falls, building maintenance.
Okay, I got you. Center. So, and Lana, what do you do there?
Yeah, I also work for the city of Great Falls in the public works area.
I got you.
Yeah.
So, what is the temperature today in Great Falls, Montana, Ted?
I haven't checked it today.
What would you guess?
I'd say it's probably by 9 o'clock. Maybe it's in the high 50s.
In the high, oh, gee, 50s. The high 50s.
Brag about it.
Yeah.
probably get to the mid-70s today, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, that's beautiful. But when does it change? I mean, when does the winter hit?
Sounds
any minute. You know what?
Any minute. The word winter is kind of relative, isn't it?
It is. On the first day of summer, we had snow.
You mean just a few days ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you have two seasons. You've got winter and August the 5th.
You have yes. Really, we have winter and we have road construction. Okay. That's our two seasons.
That's good. Oh, man. So how long are you from Montana?
Yes.
Okay, grew up there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, we both did.
Well,
what do you think about people coming from, like, California who are moving to places like Montana? Are you guys aware of
people
in your community who you go, you're not from around here, are you? Is that kind of a big thing, like they say, in Idaho and Montana?
It is. What we always say is, don't bring what you left there here.
Yes.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Key.
Don't Californianize our Montana.
Yeah.
I would probably say to them, don't bring your nutty liberal ideas here.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
that's another way
of saying it. Yeah, that's a nicer way of saying it. So AFR, Great Falls, we've been on the air. So JJ's been there and there's a lot of great listeners in that area.
I don't think JJ actually expected us to take him up on, I'll give you the tour if you come to AFR. He said, look me up when you get there, like we weren't going to really show up. Yeah. And here we are, I mentioned it, and he made good on his word.
So you drove?
We did drive,
Oh, you drove.
You drove from Great Falls to Atlanta?
Well, we started out at the Ark Encounter. That was one
of
our bucket list
items. Okay, you drove to the Ark Encounter from Montana.
Yep. Yeah, and then from there to Atlanta.
Okay.
Okay. So did you have to go through, like, Des Moines, or where did you go through?
Well,
Chicago?
I tried to stay out of Illinois as much as possible.
Yeah, you get carjacked there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, we went through South Dakota and then down along
Wyoming,
through Omaha and
Louis. How long a drive? I know you probably had plenty of stops, but roughly speaking.
It was about 18 hours to Omaha, another 12 to Ark Encounter.
What?
Wow.
18 hours to Omaha from Great Falls?
Yep.
The West is really big.
People just
have no idea when they come from Europe to visit. They're like, okay, well, we landed in New York. Tomorrow we want to visit, Disney World. Then the next day after that, we want to go to the Grand Canyon. I mean, this is really what people, and then they have no idea how vast the country is.
By the time we get home, we figure it's going to be around 5,900 miles.
Mm. Wow.
But our two stops that we planned, Atlanta, we had to be there, Ark Encounter and AFR. We planned our trip around that. You guys are our heroes.
Well, bless you.
Well, we just ask you to set your sights a little higher, but we do it. We thank you for the kind words.
Yeah, absolutely. So did he win your son, did he win the carpentry?
He didn't win, no.
What did he place?
He did. He placed 23rd out of 44.
Hey. Yeah. 23rd out of 44.
I think it's funny. Just briefly mention, I mean, he doesn't even like carpentry.
No.
You said something funny about why he got into the competition.
Yeah. Well, he was on a team that built a home in Great Falls for like the neighborhood housing project. And his instructor said, you really need to go to the competition for Skills USA. You need to go to the competition. You know, it's in another town. He's like, I don't like carpentry. I really don't. Yeah.
He doesn't even like it.
No, he doesn't like it at all. And
so y'all made him do this?
Oh, no. He did it to get out of school for one day. He's 17.
Smart kid.
That's right.
He did it to get out of school, and he won the state championship, and here we are.
Yep.
It's like you won the state competition. Now we got to go to Atlanta.
Right. Now we have to go to Atlanta.
He's probably like, I can't believe I won. Now I got to go to some national thing. I should have sandbagged it. Anyway, one other question. What did he build there in Atlanta? When they give him these materials, boom, you got to build something. What did he make?
It's kind of a mock house, I guess. Okay. You build a wall, and they just want to show – be able to show your skill level. So you had to use some steel studs, you had to use some wood, and he had to do a hip roof, which he'd never done before, and he had to figure that out on the fly, how to notch the rafters and all of that, and that cost him some time.
It cost me.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known where to start.
As a hip dude, I just want to say we have a hip roof at our house.
Uh-huh. Right.
So. I have no idea what that meant.
Yeah.
Hip roof.
All right. Great. Well, anyway, thank you guys for listening and praying for us and for stopping by to see us. We love all our listeners. And
we love you guys, too.
Thank you. That's Ted and Lana, F.A. Fallot, right?
Yep. F-A-L-L-A-T.
From Great. When is the best time to come to the Montana to enjoy the outdoors?
February.
It depends on what you want to do, I guess.
You know, Lana, I don't get the sense that you're telling me the truth right there on February to ask a Southern boy to come up to Montana.
Come see us in February.
Okay. But probably September, October is beautiful, right? Yes. Am I right? Yes.
September is probably one of the best months because we get the Indian summer. So
right.
But not really.
Still warm enough during the day and cool at night. I got you. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it never really warms up. It never really.
Yeah. Not like
it cools down. It doesn't.
So when y'all leave here, you headed back because we got. You might as well hang around here for three more days. We got 105, 104, 103.
We're gonna make a quick stop in Memphis and then we're on our way back.
Memphis. Yeah. Okay.
Quick stop in Memphis. Okay.
Yeah. The last 2 days we'll be doing that 18 hours to get home to be back to work on Monday.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. Well, God bless you. Safe travels.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming by. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Chris.
Yes.
Bring on to us the news.
All right, let's begin with some breaking news out of New York, where Daniel Penny, the Long Island man charged in that subway chokehold killing of a homeless man named Jordan Neely, Daniel Penny pleaded not guilty this morning to criminally negligent homicide or manslaughter charges. In Manhattan. This is that incident that played out several weeks ago where you had the guy on the subway train threatening people, and Daniel Penny, a former Marine, there's not really a former Marine.
They don't like you to say that.
A Marine who acted as a good Samaritan and stepped in to protect people, put the guy in a chokehold, he ends up dying. And he gets taken to court on that, where again, he's pleaded not guilty. I do have some audio from former prosecutor Jonathan Fahey, who was on Fox and Friends. He told Fox and Friends that Penny should not only be set free, but that he would never have even been charged here if there weren't such defund the police efforts there in New York. Clip 4.
If you really look at this case, and at least based on my understanding of the case, Mr. Penny was stepping in as a good Samaritan to protect himself and also people on that train from danger by this person, Jordan Neely, who has, you know, I think 40 prior arrests, who is acting irrationally, threatening people, and he stepped in to try to help them. And these charges were only brought after there was public outcry, you know, the protesters and things like that, sort of part of this anti-police movement. So hopefully, you know, the jury will see this for what it is, which I believe is really just a politically motivated prosecution, which we've seen a lot of that from Alvin Bragg.
Now, Alvin Bragg is certainly someone we've talked a lot about on this show based on his soft on crime policies there. But if you're just now joining us, Daniel Penny once again has pleaded not guilty to these charges. The case is going to continue to play out in court.
And I would just say this one other thing and then we can move on. You know, part of what's happening in our country is that because of cuts, for example, in big city police budgets and because of the fact that a lot of prosecutors, some of them, a good many of them, George Soros funded, who are not prosecuting a lot of these crimes. You have crime getting out of control, and the burden of self-protection is falling on more and more Americans themselves. So what's so absurd about this situation is because New York City is failing to protect its citizens from guys like Jordan Neely. This guy should probably have been locked up and you throw away the key, or he should be in some sort of an institution if he was having serious emotional issues, because they're failing on their job. Daniel Penny was forced to step in, and that's happening more and more around our country. I think that's only going to escalate. All right.
Well, or people are going to say, I don't want to get involved.
That could be.
I don't want to get involved because look what happened to the Marine.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to help people who are in danger.
Right.
And now he's potentially going to jail.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
In New York City, and I know there are a lot of good things about New York City, but the reputation is people will walk right over you while you're dying in the street. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but you know what I'm saying?
Or they'll sit there and film it on their phones a lot of times. I'm just thinking in terms of like the bodega, owner or manager, they wanted to charge him when he was defending himself. And the fact of the matter is more and more Americans, at least like you're saying, Tim, at least they're having to make the decision. Do I defend myself? Do I defend
didn't help
these
that
people?
He was a white male.
Right.
That's true.
Because
I will say that Brooklyn, Mississippi is far more peaceful than Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
That's a country song right there, Chris.
It is. Forest County is nice this time of year. It may be hot, though.
All right. Go ahead.
The White House press briefing, the latest one, has a lot of people talking this morning, not because of what Karine Jean-Pierre had to say, but her employee. Deputy Press Secretary Olivia Dalton told reporters
this
yesterday.
This is her moment. Right
yes.
Here.
This was her.
Because Karine Jean-Pierre is not available. So we send out who?
Olivia Dalton, Deputy White House Press Secretary.
Okay. And she's all right. And she's finally made her. This is her big chance right here. What happens?
And reporters are asking her about the economy because prices are still high. People are struggling to buy food, pay for energy bills, things like that.
Okay.
And Dalton is completely oblivious to the problems. She actually says that people love Biden's economy. Clip 8.
When you ask people what they think about investing in our roads, bridges, and airports, when you ask people what they think about educating and empowering workers, when you ask people about how they feel about reshoring manufacturing jobs and investing in America, those things are incredibly popular. And we find that when we go out and we talk to people about it, they support Bidenomics.
You know what happened right there? And I don't blame her. Because that's your first time at the big show, right?
Mm-hmm. Olivia, to my knowledge.
Olivia Dalton. I was looking her up here, see if they had a clip of, but what she said right there, she pre-rehearsed that 25 times the night before. And she was going with that no matter – they could have been asked about what do you think about the dark side of the moon. And she her answer would have been – let's just role play right here. Okay. Excuse me. What's your name?
Olivia Dalton.
Excuse me, Olivia. Can you comment on Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon?
When you ask people what they think about investing in our roads, bridges, and airports, when you ask people what they think about educating and empowering workers, when you ask people about how they feel about reshoring manufacturing jobs and investing in America, those things are incredibly popular. And we find that when we go out and we talk to people about it, they support Bidenomics.
All right.
Yeah.
Listen, I didn't answer my question, but I'll go with it. Go ahead.
I will freely admit, yeah, I have used that same strategy around my house.
Right.
My wife says, you know, hey, did you do the weed eating in the backyard? Right. I say things like, you know, lots of people really love our driveway and the way I've set up the kind of the landscaping on that. Yeah, but did you weed eat in the backyard?
Yeah.
And the side yard, man, that is to die for.
Well, bless her heart, Olivia there. You know, it's her first day.
Yeah.
I give her a break. But if she thinks that America's good with Bidenomics, she might want to go do some research on that.
There she is right there.
Because she has pretty cool dress she's got on there. What I don't know, what is that?
Or sweater or something. I don't know. Red. Looks like a Rorschach test.
Listen, in fairness, I didn't hear her whole. She can't do worse than KJP. I mean, cannot
she
do
didn't
worse.
Refer anybody to.
Did she not refer anybody?
Not to my knowledge.
Because I think White House counsel, who Karine Jean-Pierre is referring every question to now, called her in the office and said, you know, when you go back out there tomorrow after Olivia gets through filling in for you, everything you say, I will refer you to, I will refer you to. You got it?
Yeah.
And Karine Jean-Pierre is going, I got it.
I got it.
I could do that.
She's doing it.
I will say,
she's referring.
This administration is largely tone deaf on the economic problems. They're just completely ignoring it and want you to focus on other things. Because for the single mom out there that's trying to raise a kid and put food on the table and pay rent and all these other things, hearing sound bites from the president's spokesperson talking about paved roads is not helping her make ends meet.
Listen, it's one of those things, I think Ed mentions this from time to time, the old expression, what are they supposed to say?
Right.
And Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House spokesperson, and her assistant, Olivia Dalton, what are they supposed, they got to get up there and say, you know, you're right, the economy's horrible. And
now, we all know it.
We all know it.
And who's been in charge the last 2 years while this is happening?
My
he's
mom.
Right. He's right down the hall.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so that's Olivia made her debut. We got to take a minute away, or we can take our short time out? Can we? Okay. Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Chris.
Next part. I will say, going off the economy here, last week the White House got ripped because they put out a graphic. They tweeted this, saying, "Hey, inflation is half of what it used to be." Like, people were like, and like, it's still bad. Like, they find ways to spin it, and then they expect the media, which is largely left leaning, to just do their job for them, and then people are oblivious to the problems out there. No one likes Biden economics, and I'll say this: if that many people are out there loving his economy, okay, why aren't there more signs and stickers with Biden 2024? When's the last time you saw
Biden
a Biden
2024
yard
yet.
Sign?
Are you asking me personally?
Yeah, we're asking you personally.
I don't know the answer to that, but let me tell you something. My driveway is
the best driveway in the county. All right, let's go to a short break right here. Again, as every day passes, I'm thinking Mr. Biden is not going to be the presidential candidate for the Democrats, nor is Vice President Harris. Probably going to be the guy in California, Gavin Newsom, the governor there, for better or for worse, because everybody in the world knows that Biden is just not going to be able to hold up much longer, even in the state he's in. He's not. And then Vice President Harris is the most unpopular vice president in the history of our country. We'll be back momentarily.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Chris. Thank you for listening. Ed, if you want to, folks want to join us on Facebook, how can they do that?
Well, they can go to Facebook Live and search for today's issues and click through. If they want an alternative for a live video stream, you can go to our own streaming platform, AFA Streaming, can be found at streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net, and you can watch the live video stream there as well.
I was trying to look and see, again, where this, it appears to me the heat wave is going to affect most of the, what I call the heartland. From by heat wave, I mean 103, 104, 105 degrees, yeah, the next 3 days.
When they have heat advisories, that's what we've got.
Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas. It looks like some of Missouri, Arkansas, and then the southeastern part of the, yeah, country there. So that's what's happening with weather. But then it comes back, mm-hmm, to normal.
Yeah.
In about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
So, all right. Alex McFarland joins us now from the Tar Heel State. That is the great state of North Carolina. Brother Alex, good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
Doing well. What's the weather today in your neck of the woods there?
Well, it's about 88 degrees, so I have to confess, I enjoy the summer. I like hot weather.
Bless your heart, yeah, in a good way.
Yeah, we're, yeah, yes, bless your heart. We're with you, brother, except for Ed. Ed.
Oh, no, I do. I, yeah, do like warm weather now. Right. I've kind of flipped away, yeah, oh, yeah, from, I used to, cold weather used to be my favorite, and right. The last, this past winter, I thought, what am I doing? I hate this. Well, I hate being cold.
What happens is you hit the snap, crackle, and pop years of your body.
Yes.
And I call them the Rice Krispie years.
Yes.
And
I, yes, like that.
And that's when your attitude changes. And,
yep.
So it's, if it gets below 32, you know, your knee starts hurting, you know, that kind of thing.
So I'm enjoying the,
yeah.
I will say this, the other day I took a lawn chair out in the yard, brought a book out there, was in the sun. I, yeah, thought I'd get some vitamin D.
Yeah.
I will admit I lasted 5 minutes and had to go inside, wow, where it was air conditioned. So,
yeah. Alex, your summer youth camps that we've been talking about across the country, how are they still, how far are you along the calendar there?
Well, we just start Monday, the second of our 6 youth camps, and they're doing great, and I just appreciate everybody praying for us. I appreciate you, Tim, letting us promote them, and we've got kids coming to Christ, and like I say, we're trying to woke-proof America's kids.
Where's the next one?
Well, the next one that's going to be next week, Monday through Friday, is in Colorado. Woodland Park, Colorado, and then we're going to be in West Harrison, Indiana, July 10 through 14, South Carolina, North Carolina, New Jersey, and Iowa. So we now, got a full now, summer.
What, just briefly describe the camps and then how people can sign up or look at least at registration for their kids and who's eligible.
Oh, well, thanks. Well, it's middle school and high school, and what we do is all the fun camp stuff, you know, ropes course and hiking and bonfires and all that kind of fun stuff, but we have Bible study, and what we're trying to do at the Equip camps, that's what we call it, Equip, for one thing, we want to make sure that kids have a relationship with Jesus, and we share what the gospel is, but then we talk about biblical worldview, and we talk about America, and I'm just going to say this, yes, I want young people to love the Lord, but I want young people to love the United States of America, and we talk about how to defend the Christian faith, that's apologetics, and I was on the phone yesterday with a college in Iowa that we're going to rent space next year. If the good Lord allows, we're going to do 10 camps next year. We did 6 this summer. Because, guys, yeah, we want young people to build their life on Jesus Christ, but we've got to do what it takes to save our nation. And, you know, the kid that's 16 years old today, before you know it, he's going to be 25 and 30. They're going to be adults, leaders. So we're investing in a generation that is going to love God and country.
Amen.
How are you going to get to Colorado? I was looking at the map of all the delayed flights. It looks pretty difficult to fly around the country right now.
And now you're scaring me. You know, people ask me, what's the, as an evangelist, youth apologist, biggest challenge, you know, biggest challenge I have are the airlines. I mean, because you can't always depend on them. So what we do, our business model includes lots and lots of prayer.
Okay. Well, and I just gonna say, I don't recall it being as bad as it is now in terms of traveling. I mean, even 5 years ago, it just, I don't know what happened, whether it was because of COVID layoffs or what, but.
And flying is not fun, Ed. It just isn't. But God is good.
George Soros has a lot to do with that.
George Soros?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the flight delays.
The flight delays?
Yeah. Look it up. Okay. You think I'm kidding? Look it up.
I know you're not kidding. You're dead serious on this.
Yeah. All right. Hey. So how do I look at registration for my kids?
Equipretreat.org. Equipretreat.org. And then if I could share one other thing, viraltruth.com. You know, the kids are going back to school. Here's one other thing we're doing in the camps. We are teaching children, the middle school, high school, how to start a Christian club that's really a biblical worldview club, and they're called Viral Truth. And Tim, I started this several years ago because one of the most effective things about spreading truth is peers reaching peers. And so in a Viral Truth club, kids learn how to defend their Christian faith. They learn how to defend America. And we give them talking points and what we do. And I'll be in front of this summer. We have 1,250 teens in all of our camps. And we send them home. They're also learning leadership skills. We coach them on how to lead a meeting, how to speak. They don't know it, but in the camps, we get them up to give a testimony. We get them up to read a Bible verse. We're teaching them public speaking skills.
That's awesome.
Couldn't do it without AFR. I want to say we've already this year had 130 kids accept Christ, and we've got all these hundreds of families and kids because of the platform.
I'll tell you what, we can't commit to it this summer, but if you're going to do these next summer, let's work out a time where we can maybe take our show here on the road and visit one or two of these camps and talk to these kids.
Absolutely.
That'd be great.
You know, a couple of years ago, CBN did that. Pat Robertson sent a crew to cover a camp we did in North Carolina. And, yeah, we need to do this. We've had great speakers like Will and Mickey Addison and Abe Hamilton. But, Tim, I just want to thank you because you allow us to, on Exploring the Word, we promote and on Today's Issues. And we couldn't do what we do without AFR. And let me just say to all the people listening, when all these hundreds of kids, they open their heart to Christ and they pray for our nation and they understand that they are going to become leaders to help save our nation, all of these listeners that make AFR possible, folks, you share in these rewards.
Amen. By the way, I was just shaking y'all's chain about George Soros and the air travel delays.
Yes, I got that. I got that vibe.
I wouldn't have been surprised, though.
You've known me a long time, though, Ed. You know when I'm yanking people around.
Yeah.
Maybe there's somewhere that in a deep dive you could link George Soros to current air traffic delays.
Well, we can do it. We can do it. We don't even have to have proof. We can do it if we want. But
I'm just saying the default position for us as conservatives is anything that's wrong with America, we say,
George Soros.
There you go. Bingo.
George Soros. Poor George. Open society. I feel bad for him.
That guy's a wicked man.
Yes, honestly. He is.
I'm joking around, but that guy's and his intentions for the U.S. and, the U.S. in particular are wicked.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, we're going to change topics right now. Alex, you can stay around, right?
Sure.
Okay. What we're about to do now is Chris is going to tell us we're going to play clip. We haven't heard much about the COVID vaccines or the mandates and that kind of thing much, but Governor Ron DeSantis was somewhere yesterday and was asked about this.
In New Hampshire, doing a Q&A with prospective voters when a lady from the Granite State brought up the issue of COVID shots and health concerns. And so you'll hear her question along with the response from Governor DeSantis. Clip three.
You know, with COVID and the COVID vaccine shot, you got all the different information from the CDC going back and forth, safety and so forth. My husband and I both had a heart incident where we're like, okay, let's get the shot. And our health hasn't been the same since. As president, with any future pandemics or vaccines and so forth, how do you ensure that we're getting accurate and truthful information so we're able to make good decisions for ourselves and not be forced into a decision based on fear-mongering?
You're not getting it from the CDC, I can tell you that. It was a disaster what they did. FDA, total disaster. FDA is captured by the pharmaceutical companies. FDA approved for emergency use an mRNA COVID shot for six-month-old babies. There was no data to support giving a child of that age that shot. So are we doing this for people's health, or are we doing it for Big Pharma's profits? And we are not going to let Big Pharma rule the roost on this. I'm sorry. It's got to be based on evidence, not profit. And here's the thing. You never, ever mandate this. I mean, to think about a shot that came out, emergency use, it had not been studied like normal ones are. Now, I'm a right to try guy, so I believe if something's out there, you should be able to make a decision knowing that it hasn't been studied. And if you want to do it because you think, I think you should have the right to do it. But as information comes out about possible pitfalls, you've got to level with the public. And the fact is, there has been an increase in myocarditis, particularly for men under the age of 50. And my surgeon general did a study, and the media is so upset that he did this, you know, that we documented the increase in these heart incidents with people that had had the booster shot. That's just the reality.
That was Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, and when he was asked about the COVID vaccine, what do you think about what he said there, Alex?
Well, I like what he's saying, that, you know, and by the way, I've interviewed Katie Tolento, who was in the health department under Donald Trump, and she has said the very same thing, that the CDC is in the, you know, hip pocket of Big Pharma. And I travel a lot. I right now know a lady that was paralyzed when she got her second booster shot. And so we were having these largely untested vaccines just enforced upon the public. And I just pray that in the next administration, we get a president that's not going to control the nation through quarantines. The other thing I've got to say is we can't, as a nation, be under the enforcement of the World Health Organization, because
Amen.
It's not about health and medicine. It's about a globalist agenda.
Yeah. And let me just say this. This is a Democrat-Republican thing right there. Well, I can't speak for all Democrats, but I think Democrat Party, they're big WHO people,
right?
World Health Organization.
And
people.
This is part of why Robert F. Kennedy Jr. seems to be gaining some traction in the Democratic Party amongst Democratic Party voters.
Why is he?
He
How does it? What are his thoughts on the WHO?
Well, no, he is opposed to which you just heard Ron DeSantis talk about.
Right.
Is right along the line of what RFK Jr. is saying about he has serious questions about not just COVID vaccine, but all vaccines, because the process is corrupted by money, by Big Pharma
yes.
money. He's not anti-vax per se, but he says the process is corrupt. When you have money, when you have members of the National Institutes of Health, for example, who are able to profit on patents for new drugs, up to $150,000 a year, they can make money just because they're connected with these drugs. If you can make money based on the use of these drugs, and then the federal organization, the federal agency promotes the use of those vaccines to people, that's a corrupt system. And so I like what Governor DeSantis, what RFK Jr. is saying. And but the Democratic Party establishment, and I would say this, the Republican Party establishment, are also big on promoting the current system.
Alex, when Governor DeSantis and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and others use the expression Big Pharma, what are they talking about?
Well, they're talking about a small group of major multi-billion dollar corporations.
Multinational, too. Yeah.
Yes, that develop drugs, right, that some of which are good, many of which are, there's this proliferation of drugs that are just to get people on this course of treatment that very often is not necessary. Guys, I've twice interviewed Katie Tolento, and think about this. The prescriptions that you take, and these commercials are on TV endlessly. You cannot turn on a television without seeing drug commercials. All right, Katie Tolento pointed something out to me that I had not thought of. This is the only product you buy that you don't know the pricing up front. And in so many cases, doctors that have been taken to Cancun, you think about this, talk about if somebody's judgment is compromised. And I know this. Look, my wife is a registered nurse, and they're, you know, doctor's offices get lunches brought in. Well, let's say a doctor or a hospital administrator, their whole family is taken to Cancun, and you have to take 1 hour to listen to a sales pitch. Of course, there's an incentive to prescribe things. So the outside the office, you know, perks and dinners and remunerations compromise people's objectivity. But here's my point. Katie Tolento said that during the Trump administration, they wanted to make upfront pricing disclosure a part of how drugs are marketed. In other words, if you're going to get this or that drug and you're going to get hooked on it, or at least your doctor's going to have you on it for years, you need to know what you're going to pay up front. Guess who fought that? Truth in Advertising regarding drug prices, Republicans fought it. Katie Tolento.
I'm sorry, go ahead. You want to?
Well, that's what we mean when we say that many of our lawmakers and the CDC is in the hip pocket of Big Pharma. I mean, it's a license to print money for the drug makers.
Former President Donald Trump was also no fan of the World Health Organization.
Right.
I remember that during his presidency.
He's also in New Hampshire same time. They were having, he and Ron DeSantis kind of having dueling
I'm talking about when he was president.
Okay,
sure.
When he was president, Donald Trump spoke out pretty forcefully.
Yeah.
He was ticked because China was getting away with, in his view, and I agree with him, scot-free on the COVID-19
right.
Originations. And so Trump was saying, listen, if you're not going to hold China accountable, WHO, then we're going to take your funding from you.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yep.
So
I'm all for it.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Alex, thanks so much, my friend. We wish you the best in your travels.
Amen.
When are you supposed to get on the airplane? Tomorrow?
Actually tonight. So
tonight, and you go where?
Tonight I'm going to Denver, Colorado, and then I'll be in Colorado Springs by Sunday. But tomorrow morning, hey, if I can say this, I'm going to be on Today's Issues tomorrow morning. So
okay. Yeah, that's right. You're supposed to co-host with me tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it.
Ed's
it's
going
great
snow
honor.
Skiing. You going to Montana or something? Aren't you?
No.
Huh?
No. I don't know how to ski.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird for a New Englander?
Yeah.
Never. He's just going to sit at home and look at his driveway.
Yeah.
It's a staycation.
No, I have a doctor's appointment, if you must know.
Yeah, and that's covered by HIPAA laws.
Oh, yes.
He also has a kiddie pool in the backyard. For that. All right. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate
God bless
it.
You guys.
Take care.
Thank you.
It's Dr. Alex McFarland right there joining us.
That is a smart dude.
Yep.
Allie now, some people can have a doctor in front of their names and might not be all that bright, but he earned it. I've listened to him speak before.
Not an honorary doctorate.
No, it's not an honorary. And he just is a wealth of information. I'm excited about these youth meetings, these equip conferences he has. And I like your idea. We ought to pick one and do our show all week from it and let our listeners get some good news and some encouraging news as they, you know, as they hear young people who are sold out for Jesus and who are learning how to be leaders in our country. That's what a great vision.
I will be more than happy to do the news from the zip line.
From the zip line.
Yes.
The youth camp. He said they had a zip line?
Mm-hmm. They have all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't participate in that.
It might be the last time I'm on this show because bad things happen when I am adventurous.
But I've never been on a zip line. You ever ridden down a zip line?
I think, well, years ago when I was a youth pastor.
It wasn't very high. I've been on one.
But youth pastors have to do things that.
Oh, yeah. Lock-ins where you're up all night.
Yeah, how long did you last in that profession?
I probably did that for, I don't know, 10 years.
Yeah. You have scars?
Probably actual scars. I do.
And emotional?
And emotional scars. I at some point, I just decided, you know what? I can't handle this anymore, staying up all night. I once took a group, and this was foolish, really. I should never have done this. Had a lock-in all night, we're up, and then we left the next morning to go to drive from Northeast Mississippi to Tulsa, Oklahoma for a week-long conference. And all those kids asleep in the back, you know, of the van. And I, after being up all night, I was driving all the way, whatever it was, 12 or 13 hours. That was not smart. But
I did that when I was like 16.
Yeah.
We had a rock-a-thon.
Oh, yeah. I remember
those. Remember those?
Yeah.
This is for the internet.
Yeah.
Cell phones. And
back when you listened to Carpenters.
Back around the time they landed on the moon. Yeah, and the Carpenters were hot. No, I don't know what it was, 78.
Yeah.
79. We had a rock-a-thon at our church.
Now, briefly explain what a rock-a-thon.
Yeah, it wasn't rock bands.
No, you got in a rocking
chair.
And then you
rocked. You got sponsors.
I have never heard of this.
You haven't really?
No. Yeah.
That was today years old.
Listen, back in those days, you just made up stuff to try to raise money for your youth group.
Yes.
Anyway, it was our church youth group, and we did a rock-a-thon. And so you got people to sponsor you for every hour you rocked in a rocking chair. And you did it overnight, like from 7 to 7 in the morning or something like that.
Yeah.
I never will forget there was this older gentleman at our church, and a real friendly man, but I went up to him and I said, I'm not going to probably give his name. I said, his name wasn't Jones, but I'll just say Jones.
Yeah.
I said, Mr. Jones, would you mind sponsoring me in this rock-a-thon? And he said, you're going to do what now?
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to sit in a rocking chair and rock for 12 hours.
Right.
He goes, No, I'm not going to sponsor you for that. He said, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but now if you want to come over and mow my grass pick up trash along the side of the road or wash my car, I'd be glad to sponsor you, but I'm not going to sponsor you to sit in a rocking chair and rock on.
He went old school on you.
Yeah. So, but at the time I thought, man, that's mean.
That's why they call it the greatest generation.
Yeah. But anyway, back to my story. So anyway, did that, you're talking about driving?
I rocked
for 12 hours and then had to take my then girlfriend home, who is my wife now.
Yeah.
And so I took Allison home. She lives 10 miles out in the country. And on the way back, I fell asleep, hit a tree.
Oh, my goodness. No. Yeah.
Didn't have a seatbelt on. Mm.
Oh.
And now, fortunately, I wasn't going, but about 20, 25 is a curvy road.
Yeah.
25, 30 miles an hour. I never will forget hitting that tree, though. It woke me up.
Yes, yes it did.
I'm not laughing because that was funny, but I survived.
Yeah.
Obviously. I had a smashed up, broke nose, but other than that, I was okay.
We've all done things that we look back on and cringe.
But I know, but you're going like, what are you, 12 hours up all night and you're driving down the road?
Yeah.
You drove to Tulsa?
I drove to Tulsa.
Oh, man. That's anyway.
That was foolish.
Yeah.
That's just downright foolish. Yeah. It was and irresponsible.
When I was in college, yeah, I stayed up for 2 days.
Did you put that – excuse me just a minute, Chris. When you applied for a job here at the ministry, did you put that down in your application?
I kind of hid that.
That you were foolish?
I hid that from
– give examples of your foolishness?
No, I did not.
I
hope my 27 years here have right. not been in vain.
No, they have. I just don't remember seeing that on your application.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Chris.
I was just saying, when I was in college at MSU, I was up for 2 days. I had a couple of big projects and like a paper due, and I had a part-time job that was in the middle of the night, and I didn't sleep much. So I stayed up for 2 days, and don't do this, kids. But on a Friday afternoon, I skipped a lab, and I went back to my dorm room and laid down to take a nap at 1 o'clock, and I woke up Saturday morning at like 8 o'clock in the morning, just completely dead to the world for about a day and a half.
And that's the birth of Red Bull.
Yes.
Yes, that's probably exactly how that got formulated.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you.
Ed and I shall return momentarily with more of today's issues with Steve Paisley Jordahl. That's coming up in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.